Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Unreasonable Art of Living podcast. I'm your host, Gerhard Molin. Yeah, episode 41. As always, enjoy the music. Welcome back to another episode, and first and foremost, I hope you're doing fine wherever you are right now. Obviously, that's the most important thing of this whole show. Yeah, welcome back. This week's episode is going to be a short one, short but focused. For the first time listeners, welcome to the podcast. What is the Unreasonable Art of Living podcast? It is really a mirror of my life, of other people's life, and sometimes distilled wisdom and reflections on, how to live an unreasonable art of life. That means a non-linear path. Why non-linear? Because to live unreasonably kind of means, or what inspired me, or like what I think it means, is like to find one's true core and self. And once you find that, and you kind of like find this rhythm of understanding why you're here and what drives you, this may lead you to a path that might seem for other people very unreasonable, but for you it's the most reasonable thing to do. So that's why that's the name. And this week's episode actually inspired me. There's two ways actually to look at it. So yeah, also like we are, for those who recently joined, me and my team, we're working on an app called Lumi. It's a beautiful, beautiful app that helps people to build a healthy relationship with their body connection and their self-awareness in a very joyful and light way. And so we launched it early access in February, and we're now working with the community. So at the moment, a very small one, but we're soon aiming to onboard more, the next step, next phase, so to say. But we're also applying for the Y Combinator in Silicon Valley. And for this, you know, like they is like the Y Combinator is like the most prestigious accelerator in the world. And when you get in, it's super hard. You get $500,000 investment. You're going to spend 3 months in Silicon Valley really working with the best of the best. And of course, when you kind of like the application, when you think about how to frame the product, how to communicate it, how to position it, there's always, and I mean, I'm not new to the startup world. I've been in the startup world for the last 7 years. I had already a startup. I failed one many, many years ago. But there was always like this the most important thing when you talk to investors. What about your competition? You know, and then you have like this 4x4 matrix and whatnot, kind of like laying out how you are so much better than everyone else. Oh, by the way, let me take a sip. Today I have something very special. I'm drinking ceremonial cacao from Peru. I found it in Vienna. Amazing. And quite a good price. So delicious. Wow. So if you're in Vienna, the store is called Dancing Shiva. And why I'm so surprised, because normally in Europe, you pay quite a good amount of money for ceremonial cacao. But I paid for this one, the Peruvian half a kilo, 29 euros. That's for European prices. Very, very cheap. Love it. And it's delicious. I always like it's chili and cinnamon. Ideally, I would also add some vanilla. And I add a bit of honey. Okay, back to the topic. Competition. You know, so then when you talk about competition, you suddenly you look at all the other companies in the same space as kind of like almost you start, it starts so automatically. You look at them as your enemies. You know, like you always have to feel like they're a threat to you. But it's actually so sad we have framed the word competition, actually completely forgot the root meaning of competition. The root meaning in Latin, the root meaning for competition is competere. And competere, translated, means nothing short but to strive together. So, yeah, strive together means working or, yeah, coming together to work towards a shared goal. Isn't it beautiful, actually, the true meaning of competition? So it's really about coming together cooperatively towards a common goal and inspire each other to really create something great. And so for me, actually, when you think about, like, for example, there's like a big player in the whole self-awareness, mental health, mindfulness space is, of course, Headspace. And they have become dreammongers and made so huge. I didn't know, but one of our co-founders, he did some amazing business intelligence on it. I was quite shocked how big they became, but also how many in the last years they actually purchased many, many small startups, or like kind of like startups that they thought like, okay, they either could become a threat, or they saw like, hey, it's cheaper to just buy them and then incorporate them into their huge body, which they have become nowadays. So now it's easy. Like, I just have to, like, it's a self-reflection. It's not really like, when I'm sharing this, like, what is this podcast as well? It's really about almost like a diary as well, a journaling, where it's about self-reflection, where, because I observed my own thoughts, and like suddenly you see this company Headspace, which a few years ago you found like an amazing product. Now you become, oh, they're our enemies. We have to beat them. We're better than them. And then you actually completely ignore that those companies, like this mission we are actually about to embark, is to contribute to this whole mission, how we can help as many people to regain like this sense of belonging, fulfillment, and this reconnecting to this connection between soul, mind, and body. So self-awareness, mindfulness. And instead of seeing them as competitors, like, you actually have to honor them, because like, thanks to them, like Headspace a few years ago, they were the main player, or the main reason why, among others, mindfulness has reached the mainstream, or has reached like a level where you can talk about mindfulness without being labeled as like this weird hippie. Yeah. And then, so really about, I really want to kind of like be mindful when we talk about competition. It's about, no, it's really about, I see all of these companies as collaborators and contributors. And the question should be not, how are you better than them? How can you contribute or add value in addition to them, so we can accelerate to tackle that mission together, always keeping the sense of togetherness? And this reminded me of a chapter in the book, The Creative Active Way of Being by Rick Rubin, where he talks about non-competition. And it was so amazing. I'm going to read it to you because it was just really amazing. It is 3.5 pages long. So bear with me. I'm going to take one more sip of the delicious cacao. Wow. I also found about some tea with me from Helsinki. I'm going to drink next time. So bear with me. I hope you will enjoy it. I'm going to put some music to make it a bit more relaxing. All right. Book chapter on non-competition. Music on. Non-competition. Art is about the maker. Its aim to be an expression of who we are. This makes competition absurd. Every artist's playing field is specific to them. You are creating the work that best represents you. Another artist is making a work that best represents them. The two cannot be measured against one another. Art relates to the artist making it and the unique contribution they are bringing to the culture. Some may argue that competition inspires greatness. The challenge of exceeding what others have accomplished can act as incentive to push our creative limits. In most cases, though, this energy of competition oscillates at a lower vibration. Wanting to outperform another artist or make a work better than theirs rarely results in true greatness. Nor is it a mindset that has healthy impact on the rest of our lives. As Theodore Roosevelt pointed out, comparison is the thief of joy. Besides, why would we want to create with the purpose of diminishing someone else? When another great work inspires us to elevate our own, however, the energy is different. Seeing the bar raised in our field can encourage us to reach even higher. This energy of rising to meet is quite different from what of conquering. When Brian Wilson first heard the Beatles' Rubber Soul, his mind was blown. Quote, "If I ever do anything in my life, I'm going to make that good an album," he thought at that time. He went on to explain, "I was so happy to hear it that I went and started writing God Only Knows." Being made happy by someone else's best work and then letting it inspire you to rise to the occasion is not competition, it's collaboration. When Paul McCartney heard the resulting Beach Boys album, Pet Sounds, he too was blown away and reduced to tears, proclaiming, "God Only Knows" was to his ears the best song ever written. Buoyed by the experience, the Beatles played Pet Sounds over and over while creating another masterpiece, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Without Pet Sounds, Sgt. Pepper never would have happened, Beatles producer George Martin said. Pepper was an attempt to equal Pet Sounds. This creative back and forth wasn't based on commercial competition, it was based on mutual love, and we all are the beneficiaries of this upward spiral towards magnificence. No system exists that can rank which work is most reflective of the maker. Great art is an invitation calling to creators everywhere to strive for still higher and deeper levels. There's another type of competitiveness that might be seen as an infinite gain, a story that can continue to unfold over the course of an artist's life. This is the competition with the self. Think of self-competition as a quest for evolution. The object is not to beat out our other work, it's to move things forward and create a sense of progression. Growth over superiority. Sorry. And now we're going to switch the song. No, we're going to repeat it. Continuing. Our ability and taste may evolve, yielding different works over time, but none can be evaluated as more or less than another. They are different snapshots of who we are and who we were. They are all our best work in the moment they were created. With each new project, we are challenging ourselves to most beautifully reflect what's living in us at that particular window of time. In this spirit of self-competition, task yourself to go further and push into the unexpected. Don't stop even at greatness. Venture beyond. Wow. Okay, wow, I need to highlight this actually. Don't stop even at greatness. Venture beyond. Isn't this a beauty? I mean, I think this is mind-blowing. So it's so easy, and I think it's so music is over. Okay, now deserve another sip. It's so easy because I think, especially in the startup world, when you think about how do we get funding, how do we present our company startup to another investor or like potential accelerator, to fall in the game that, hey, we are unique. Well, we, you know, like we all, everyone's expression should be unique and contribute, but we are better. And then it's kind of like dishonoring the current work, because without them, we wouldn't be able. And I think they have all, especially, I remember there's two companies I love in this space. It's Headspace to start with, but then really like an mental health and self-awareness app, which I found and still I pay for it, is Waking Up. So without them, probably and most likely Lumi wouldn't exist in one way or the other. And I think it's so important that when we talk about competition, also like when we teach it to our children, when we communicate this, competition is always a way to inspire each other, to strive for greatness, to contribute together to a common goal, and really bring the best out of each other. Because, you know, in the market, even though like on paper it might sound similar, but there's always a unique angle to everything we create. It's a form of self-expression. And instead of, I think the biggest mistake you can do is to look at someone and try to copycat them. Because I think it's a missed chance that you can create something that is your pure self-expression, your contribution to this whole journey and mission. And I see it really, it's a huge mission, to be honest. Like, I think we are living in a world where there's more loneliness than ever, even though we are more interconnected than ever. There's more disconnect to our body and heart and our soul more than ever. And it's a huge mission because there's like a lot of, strong forces, how to say, in place that do everything they can. I'm not talking about like an evil cult or something. It's just like products we created, minds or philosophy, or like not even philosophies, societal programming intentionally. I think there's never like an intentional evil always behind anything. I think that's doesn't need to be that way. It just can happen as well if you're not careful. That kind of like steers away from connecting with who we are. And by connecting with ourselves, we actually connect with everyone else in this world. And I think the most beautiful thing you can always start with, and it's the most powerful thing, is to love yourself. And it's nothing to do with selfishness. It's actually the healthiest way to find love for everyone else in this world. All right, with that said, I'm going to finish this week's episode. It's going to be a short one. It's been a long, long week. I actually feel like I'm going to talk about it maybe next episode. There was a very, just energetically very low, very exhausted. And this is also okay. You just have to allow it and allow these emotions to come up. Either way, I was really looking forward to this short episode and talk about this. I hope you have a beautiful day wherever you are right now. And yeah, thank you for being together in this time and space. All right, have a wonderful day.